This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. A new lawsuit accuses Illinois State University of mishandling an investigation of sexual misconduct involving a student. But it's not the victim filing the suit, it's the accused. A former student claims ISU violated his due process rights and suspended him from campus over allegations that were eventually proven false. His lawyers claim ISU's investigation showed a bias against male students and that no criminal charges were ever filed against him. The lawsuit seeks more than $1 million in damages. The lawsuit comes as college campuses across the country adjust to new guidance from the Federal Education Department about how to handle sexual misconduct cases, also called Title IX cases. CLT's Ryan Denham spoke to John Doe's lawyers, Brenda Bukowski and Mark Johnson, about the case. Bukowski says there are big differences between Title IX cases and criminal investigations.
In a criminal proceeding, one has a right to confront their accuser. The burden on the state's attorney when proving a charge is beyond a reasonable doubt. We all know that. That's in our Constitution. But you have a right to cross-examine witnesses, to call witnesses on your behalf, to see the reports that are been generated in relation to the case. And with Title IX proceedings, basically, virtually none of that is true. An individual has a right to see reports, but I can't tell you how many Title IX hearings we've attended and beaten successfully, despite the fact that they've only shown us a couple of the 10 that might be out there, for example. Then at the actual hearing, it was under the Obama administration that the rules of evidence changed. So at a criminal case, not only do you see the reports, but in addition to the reports, you get to ask those questions. You can't just admit a report in a criminal case. At a Title IX hearing, the rules changed so that you can just literally submit a written report that can be hearsay, that wouldn't otherwise be allowed in a court of law. And then that means there's no opportunity to call and cross-examine a witness who might be testifying against you, because it's a narrative report that's being filed and considered as evidence, despite the fact that it's written by somebody, by a third party, like a police officer. And it's entirely different than a criminal proceeding altogether. In criminal proceedings, it's all about guaranteeing the accused right to a fair trial. And frankly, the way that Title IX hearings have progressed, it seems like that's the farthest from having a fair hearing is the farthest thing from anybody's mind.
Can you talk about the differences in burdens of proof from beyond a reasonable doubt, which is a concept I think a lot of folks are familiar with from literally any movie or TV show, and then the preponderance of evidence theory, which is sort of at the root of the Title IX hearing process?
Absolutely. In a criminal case, the burden of proof is beyond a reasonable doubt, and that's actually not defined under Illinois law. You're not allowed in criminal cases to tell a jury what beyond a reasonable doubt means. Other states, that's not true. Preponderance of the evidence is commonly referred to as being 51% likely. It just has to be more likely than not that something happened. And that's essentially the one of, or arguably the lowest civil burden that there is. I say arguably only because there is such a thing as strict liability where you just ask if an event occurred, period. But as far as an actual burden of proof, the preponderance of the evidence is that low standard of 51% likely. That's a way that most people understand it. Whereas beyond a reasonable doubt often equates to, are there reasonable doubts? Literally what the words mean in the state of Illinois.
What can you tell me about your client? You filed this lawsuit under anonymity, so he's referred to as John Doe in the suit. But what can you tell me about him and how he was affected by this more specifically?
We went ahead and filed the lawsuit with a motion to proceed under pseudonyms, meaning that the confidentiality of the individual is very, very important, not only for our former ISU student, but there are actually two female ISU students, and their identities should be protected as well. So in getting to that question, we did file the suit under pseudonyms, and we did that for various obvious reasons, and that's to protect their confidentiality. Our guy, great guy. He did 4 years at ISU. Had a good time here. Studied very well. Was very proactive. Never disciplined in any way, shape, or form. Since being suspended from ISU and subsequently having to withdraw from the university, he's now working very menial jobs in comparison to where he would be in life had his college not been disrupted by Illinois State University. So We're hoping he can recover. That certainly is the goal for us fathers, for all of our sons, and that's our goal in this particular case as well.
And was he able to finish his degree at another institution?
No, he was not. He's had some great difficulties in transferring to other universities to the caliber of Illinois State University, based upon the fact that he was suspended, caused to fail ISU one semester, and then not able to move on with his classes the next semester. So the ramifications were pretty hard. It's been some time, and he's still not been able to be accepted into a college.
Mark, how do you think this lawsuit and Betsy DeVos's calls for reform will impact other college campuses in addition to ISU?
No, it's a very challenging area right now, Ryan. We're hopeful that universities throughout the country, throughout the state of Illinois, take heed to the new directives that the Trump administration is putting into play so that due process and constitutional rights are not violated in the future. That's the goal here. The goal is that everyone is able to have their rights and that those rights not be violated.
That's Mark Johnson and Brendan Bukowski, two lawyers who filed a lawsuit against Illinois State University on behalf of their client, John Doe, over ISU's handling of a Title IX investigation. I'm Ryan Denham.
In a statement, ISU says it couldn't comment on pending litigation, but the university says it's responsible for complying with all federal, state, and civil rights laws. The university says it takes this responsibility seriously and has related university policies that ensure a fair, thorough, and impartial investigation into allegations of discrimination and harassment. With respect to sexual misconduct allegations, ISU says its policy also ensures that each party has an opportunity to fully participate in an investigation and to review evidence before a final determination is reached. ISU says those involved can also appeal.